It's time for Motherlode Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the Motherlode. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service. No job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.
Well, good morning and welcome to Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. It was just over a year ago that David Vasquez was selected to be the new sheriff of Tuolumne County. Sheriff Vasquez is joining us in studio today to give an update on law enforcement initiatives and some of the actions put in place over the past year. Sheriff Vasquez, thanks for coming back in.
BJ, always a pleasure, and thank you for having me.
So now looking back at over a year in office, what would you say have been some of the highlights for you as sheriff?
Well, I always have to start with gratitude, and I think that the biggest highlight for me is, as I was sharing with you earlier, is that every morning I wake up grateful that I get to serve this wonderful community and be the sheriff. I'm grateful for my staff. I have an amazing command staff, amazing support staff, and every team member of the sheriff's office, they definitely carry us to greatness. And we have that shared vision. And, you know, probably most importantly, we are all grateful for the community that we get to serve and the love and support we feel from the people. So I think that that's probably the biggest takeaway from 1 year being March 5th.
Yeah. So when you look back over the past year, what have been some of the like changes or initiatives that you put in place?
Well, I think the first thing that we had to do is realize that we were coming into a very difficult budget cycle, and that in March of last year, we were kind of anticipating and seeing some of those challenges that we were going to be facing. And like I said, I think in the previous shows, is that you know, the safety and security of this county is second to none to me. That's my entire existence. And I've always said that I'd be advocating for fully funded sheriff's office. And with the support of the Board of Supervisors, we've been able to ensure that the people of Tuolumne County receive the services that they are entitled to and that are protected in the Constitution.
So what is the status next year when it comes to the budget from what you've been told so far by the Board of Supervisors?
We're coming up on year-end budget and we're preparing for next year. I think that the leadership obligation that I face right now is taking a strategic look at how we are as an organization, comparing and challenging the status quo, and is there anywhere that we can use innovation and be creative to reinvent some of the services that we provide to create general fund relief and do our part, because I think that is the focus right now. I will be advocating for a fully funded sheriff's office to ensure that we can maintain the services that the people have a right to.
Yeah. I know in recent years there have been a push when it comes to salaries for sheriff's deputies. You know, how are things right now when it comes to the ability to be competitive to attract new sheriff's deputies?
Well, that is a focus. And labor and negotiations is not something that I am directly involved in. I leave that to, county council and the human resources department. You know, they facilitate negotiations. But I do weigh in, and I am an advocate for maintaining competitive wages. And it's always in the forefront of my mind, because, you know, in this line of work, much like any other, is when a person has to choose between quality of life and assuming a role as a deputy sheriff or support staff, there's only so much that a person can do when it's affecting their ability to provide for their family. And that applies to all classifications and all professions. But you know, in our world, there's a lot at stake, and it's the safety, and it's not just a single person's decision. It's a family decision. People have wives and families and children, and so that's at the forefront of my mind when I advocate. But I think coming full circle to that leadership obligation, I think that I have a duty to be as creative as I can to try and find out how I can support those concepts within my existing budget. And that means reinventing and being creative and really stretching ourselves to be better every day.
When you look at the infrastructure needs of the sheriff's office right now, what would you say are the main things?
911 dispatch. Without hesitation, the battle for 911 has been going since 2023, since our communication center caught on fire. And not to, to really pinpoint on that, our electrical infrastructure caught fire. And in that time, I've presented at this many times to the Board of Supervisors and to the community through town halls, is that the fallout for that of not having sustainable infrastructure is that when you have power outages, you lose your equipment and your service to that, which means that it affects people's ability to call for 911. That has been an ongoing issue that I have kept my foot on the gas, and we are full throttle to pursue sustainable infrastructure for that, even if it's temporary. And I am proud to say that as of last year, we have explored many options, and we're as a long-term option, we're looking at Dan Backer Detention Facility to potentially get approval to put 911 infrastructure in that building. That's a very, very long process, and it could be a multi-year endeavor. And that's just not suitable for me. We need sustainable infrastructure now. And since October of last year, we did get approval to relocate temporarily into Stryker Court, which is the current Tuolumne County ambulance building, where there is a space and suitable infrastructure to support the people of Tuolumne County and to ensure that they can call 911. That is actually on the April 8th agenda to finalize and do an update and authorize the county administrator to proceed.
You know, for people who don't know the inner workings of the sheriff's office, what is physically at the jail facility as opposed to the older facility downtown?
So there is an administrative space that's not currently being used, and through several legislative changes that reduces populations for jail, we found that the space in which the jail was originally created might not be fully utilized, and that includes administrative areas. And so my ideas and the commitment that I've made to the people is that how do we utilize what we already have rather than trying to build new? And if we can repurpose a space that will be suitable for 911, then that's great. We should absolutely do that. It's a newer facility. The infrastructure is something that offers absolution for 911 services. Where we are at right now is a makeshift area, and that is the downtown building, Sunset. And 911 was never really meant to be housed in that building, and that building has been modified several times over the course of several years. And the problem is that we are pulling power into so many different locations to the point where that system is maxed out, and it has failed numerous times and to the point to where it caught fire 2 years ago.
We're talking with Tuolumne County Sheriff David Vasquez on this weekend's Motherload Views. You know, when you look at drug abuse in Tuolumne County, what are kind of the recent trends that you've noticed as sheriff?
You know, even prior to sheriff, you know, drugs is something that has always been in the forefront of my mindset of what it means to protecting this community. With the change of legislation and decriminalization, it has become very, very challenging. But I think we made a decision early on, especially when I became sheriff, was that we are not going to be wavering to the legislation. We are going to let the people decide how they want their community to be policed, and we are going to provide the services that are going to combat some of that legislation that makes it difficult to prosecute and put together criminal cases. But we're not going to shy away from it. And the trend is this, is that there's a lot of drugs coming into this county, and we are seizing large quantities of fentanyl, large quantities of other narcotics as well. I mean, thousands of fentanyl pills. There's a study floating around out there, and I can't quote it right now, but they are saying because of how these pills and how these products are made, I mean, they're being made in garages. And so the fact that the mixture, so to speak, per pill is so uneven and there's really no science behind it, they estimate that one in every 50 pills contains a lethal dose, regardless of what the person's tolerance level is. And that's because this fentanyl and ISO is so deadly. And when you're doing seizures on traffic stops and search warrants, and TNT has been doing a great job, Patrol has been doing a fantastic job in their endeavors, we're seizing thousands of pills at any one given time, 1,800 pills, 5,000 pills. So to put that into perspective, that these are the type of trafficking trends where it's coming from the Bay Area, it's coming from Central Valley. And this is and make no means no concern about it, is that this is a business opportunity for people who are trafficking those drugs into this community. And we are prepared to meet that with every resource that we can. But I will say this. You know, TNT has been in effect for about 7.5 months, almost 8 months. And between then and now, we were averaging sometimes 4 to 7 Narcan deployments due to overdoses. I am proud to say that one of the trends that I noticed was in our last February statistics, we had 0 Narcan deployments. And that's all agencies, all medical agencies that we actually keep record of. And I'm not saying that that's directly attributed to TNT, but boy, it sure is a difference. I mean, it's an anomaly in the statistics. I'll just say that.
Yeah, it's good to hear. You know, obviously we want to keep fentanyl out of children's hands as well. Do you see that some children are being targeted with this drug?
I got to be real honest with you, BJ. I think that real prevention effort starts with educating and being more engaged with our kids, and that's where the schools come in. You know, we hear a lot about prevention, about reoffending, and folks that are already justice involved. It's my goal and my endeavor and vision to really put out to the public that true prevention starts before your justice involved. And it really, we have to make sure that we're balancing all of the funds that we get, whether it's federal, state fundings, any of these special department revenues, to make sure that there's not an imbalance of folks that are already offenders, and really focus on prevention, which is, what about the drug endangered children? For every one drug case that you take, these are folks that have children that are living in the homes with them. We had a very significant, what we call a DEC case, it's a drug endangered child case, a couple of weeks ago. And we need to make sure that we are creating that balance. And that's what will be advocating for with the school resource officer program that will be coming in. We are reinventing that to meet all of the provisions for to qualify for opioid settlement type funding, because we have to reinvent the way we do business, and we have to engage with kids in a meaningful way. And keeping this deadly substance that looks too much like candy out of the hands of kids and away from them, whether it's on purpose or whether it's accidental. Something that we just uncovered, well, TNT uncovered it, and Patrol has been experiencing this too, is that people aren't just selling fentanyl and pills. They're capitalizing on any illicit market that they can, and that means that they're selling vapes, they're selling mushrooms, they're selling marijuana, and these are all intro-type transactions that are taking place with school-age kids, and we're finding that in text messages. You got kids that aren't old enough to drive, so they're asking to walk in meat places to buy vape pens or to buy marijuana because they can't get their hands on it. And there's a term for these people, and they're called plugs, because they plug that need for whatever it is that you're looking for. And that, we're talking school-age children. We're talking 7th and 8th grade in through high school. And that's absolutely on the radar, and it's one of my goals to smash that type of activity.
Need to take a quick break. Talking with Sheriff David Vasquez on this weekend's Motherload Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. Motherload Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. Our second segment coming up in just a minute.
Nate's Tree Service does more than trim trees. Nate's will remove tree hazards, clean storm damage, provide CDF fire clearance, eliminate beetle infestation, chip brush, and so much more. Nate's Tree Service is licensed, bonded, and insured. They even carry workers' comp for their employees for your protection. No job is too big or too small in the Tri-County area for family-owned and operated Nate's Tree Service. Call 532-2460. That's 532-2460.
Welcome back to Motherload Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host, talking with Tuolumne County Sheriff David Vasquez, who it was just over a year ago today that he took over as the sheriff of Tuolumne County. Sheriff Vasquez, as we were ending the first segment, you were talking a lot about fentanyl and the concerns that you have. And you mentioned the TNT team kind of coming back. Can you talk a little bit about the decision to bring TNT back and how that process has worked?
Well, I think it was just, an answer to the call of the people. And I think that if anybody who is paying attention to what the feedback and the public outcry was, especially with town halls, it was a no-brainer for me that narcotics enforcement is undoubtedly needed, and it's a staple in this community. And the reason why I highlight that is, you know, it goes far beyond just the narcotics investigation. You know, with the change in the legislation right now, everybody in this state, in the state of California, realizes what a problem this is. And a shift in the legislation like we've seen, where you can charge somebody with murder for knowingly providing this deadly substance. It is in fact that deadly to people. So it was a no-brainer to me that we have all of these drugs that are coming into this community, and they're just killing people. I mean, left and right. I want to say, and hope I get this number right, there was between 18 and 21 deaths last year in 2024 specific to controlled substances. And I believe that 18 or 19 of those was confirmed as being directly related to fentanyl through toxicology. I mean, that's a significant amount of people. And, you know, you can make an argument one way or the other. And I know that there's people that feel certain ways. That's a dangerous lifestyle. Well, it is. But when you don't know what you're getting, I mean, should it be a death sentence? And I think that, you know, just about any person would say, well, no, it shouldn't be a death sentence. And we're dealing with a substance that's so toxic and so potent that it's killing people, both on purpose and accidentally. And so that's something to think about. To the fact that, you know, I'm very grateful for the partnership I have with the district attorney's office. Our teams work very, very closely together. They just had a preliminary examination where a defendant was held to answer for second degree murder. And that's directly related to the legislation in the state and how the people of California and the people of Tuolumne County view drug dealers, and specifically towards fentanyl. Another component of narcotics investigation that we're looking at is impacting these drug dealers where it really, really hurts, and that's their financial opportunity. These investigations don't just stop with the arrests. They're going to continue on in the civil capacity where if we can prove that you're funding, whether it's real estate, vehicles, or anything else of value with drug proceeds, that we are going to do everything that we can to work with our district attorney and get approval to seize those assets and return the proceeds back to the people of Tuolumne County. And that will be our endeavor for every qualifying sales case.
Getting into some other topics, I'm curious your thoughts on technology in law enforcement. What do you see kind of like technological trends and just changes that could potentially benefit law enforcement over the long run here?
Well, I think with anything, there's a balance, and we've been hearing a lot right now in the law enforcement world about artificial intelligence. And I think like anything, it's a tool. It can be weaponized. It can be used incorrectly. And I will always say that it's my job to protect people's constitutional rights. And I think that there is a healthy balance to use technology, but also ensuring that we are not compromising on our principles in the endeavor to utilize and reinvent what law enforcement looks like. I think one of the areas where we've seen an astronomical benefit to technology is in mobile forensics. Because right now, almost every crime and all aspects of crime all comes down to devices and our ability to extract information from those devices. But we have very strict rules about how we can access those things, and rightfully so, because people have a constitutional right to be secure in their person, homes, properties, and their papers. So I see that the use in technology has been very, very helpful for us to be able to prove elements of crime, specifically in the mobile forensics department. So I think that there's a balance to everything. AI, there's a place for it. We welcome it in appropriate balanced doses. But there's a part of me that also says we need to make sure that we keep our finger on the pulse to ensure that we are not overusing things, so our strengths, you know, the overuse doesn't become a weakness.
Talked about some of your concerns, fentanyl in the community, infrastructure challenges on the horizon, budgetary challenges. What are some other things as sheriff that you're keeping a close eye on right now?
You know, we're really looking at the trends for staffing and how engaged people are with joining our team. I can say right now that in the past, you know, we've experienced in upwards of 17 and, you know, vacancies in our department, which is huge. And that's not just in, you know, patrol, but that's also in our custody facility. And when staffing levels drop low, and it kind of comes back to your point, BJ, when you were talking about, you know, is compensation and being competitive important? It's all important. It's all encompassed in one, you know, I'll say like one aspect of what thoughtfulness really means when you're talking about recruitment, retention, and building a team. The reason why I say that is because when staffing levels drop so low, essentially I'm asking people to do things that are unsafe. They're unsafe per policy, best practices, and also officer safety. And that's just a non-starter for me. And that is the driving force to advocating for a fully funded sheriff's office, is to ensure that when I am talking to my teammates, my deputies, my support staff, the decisions that I make, I'm thinking about their families, and that I can ensure and that I can provide the resources to best allow them to be successful and go home at night. And so that's very, very important to me. It's important that the families know that that's in the forefront of my thought process, because I said it the other day. I was giving a briefing to a large group of some of our people, and I said, my people are the first thing I think about when I wake up. Is everybody safe? Did everybody go home? And the last thing I think about before I go to bed. I carry that responsibility, and I cradle it because I know how serious it is. And so all of that goes into my thought process when we talk about recruitment, retention, and making sure that we don't just fill the numbers, but that we are hiring the best and most qualified people to protect this community.
Do you feel that there's a pretty good culture right now within the sheriff's office?
It's so good, BJ. I'm smiling right now. I know people can't see me, but it's so good to walk into the offices and visit the people and get in the trenches with them and just and hear, you know, how they're feeling about their work, and they're so personally connected to it. It's amazing. It's just this, I hate to say well-oiled machine, because it's not, but it, everybody's firing on all eight cylinders, and what the where I feel it is that they're connected to why they're doing what they do, and they are just so bought in, and I am so grateful for all of their efforts. And I think that's because of the relationship that we have with the community. And I think that, you know, hearing those positive things and knowing that you have dedicated people that are participating in their government in a way that lets us know that there's no guesswork. These people appreciate their deputy sheriffs. They appreciate their safety, you know, all of our safety partners, and they want to live in a safe and secure Tuolumne County. And I think that when you have all of those components, it's unstoppable. It really is what a shared vision looks like and feels like when you're able to enjoy it this much. I say I'm lucky. I feel lucky, and I think I told you every day I wake up, I'm grateful for it. And so it's the people that carry us to greatness, for sure.
I know you like getting out in the community. I see you at various events around Tuolumne County. Have you looked at doing any more town hall meeting type things in the future?
Yes. Actually, in December, I had put out a press release that my intention was to start those at the beginning of the year. There was some delays. Like I said, it's been very busy both internally and externally, I think, in county government and for the sheriff's office. And so some of my time was having to be refocused into other areas that would ultimately affect public safety and for me to be engaged. But also, I don't want to go to the public without the results as well. So when we saw certain aspects of budget kind of getting pushed out a little bit more and some things that were delayed specifically in the dispatch realm and other key decisions, when I sent the message out to the people in December, I said that my next town halls will be highly reflective of key government decisions and also county budget and how it affects safety. And because those events and those meetings were delayed a bit, and I think that largely due to changes in county government, I wanted to make sure that I didn't take my focus away from those things where I thought that they would best be prioritized, so that when I do put those dates out, which I think will be within the next couple of weeks, I was just talking to my administrative assistant about that we need to make sure we solidify those dates, is that I'll have that information, because those meetings will have taken place, and I will have a platform to speak on intelligently about what those decisions are at the government level and how it affects safety.
Need to take one more break. Talking with Sheriff David Vasquez on this weekend's Motherlode Views for Tuolumne County. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. Motherlode Views brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. We'll have our final segment coming up in just a minute.
But first, a programming note that next week on Motherlode Views, we're going to be previewing the upcoming Motherlode Roundup that is just a few weeks away. It's Mother's Day weekend. We're going to be joined in studio by a trio from the Tuolumne County Sheriff's Posse, the group that puts on the community celebration, the rodeo and parade. In studio will be Mike Seuss, Dan Dernall, and Tim Orpert. They're going to tell us all about the upcoming events. Also, give us a little preview about some national television coverage that's going to be coming to this year's Motherlode Roundup. That's next week on Motherlode Views.
Nate's Tree Service does more than trim trees. Nate's will remove tree hazards, clean storm damage, provide CDF fire clearance, eliminate beetle infestation, chip brush, and so much more. Nate's Tree Service is licensed, bonded, and insured. They even carry workers' comp for their employees for your protection. No job is too big or too small in the Tri-County area for family-owned and operated Nate's Tree Service. Call 532-2460. That's 532-2460.
Welcome back to Motherlode Views. I'm PJ Hansen, your host, talking with Tuolumne County Sheriff David Vasquez on this weekend show. Sheriff Vasquez, one thing we haven't talked about is the inmate work crews that you have. What can you tell us about what they do in the community?
Well, the Dambacker work crew, they have been busy, you know, and I will say, you know, within the last year, I mean, we're talking thousands of hours of community-oriented service projects, roadside clearing. I think you probably have seen a couple of press releases of just special projects with other public safety partners. They are out cleaning up the community, and I think that this is, you know, so important for the community to see and have this visual that you have people who are wanting to give back. You know, they are serving their time, serving out their sentence for mistakes that they've made and how they've wronged society, but they're making it right. you know, and we're teaching them skills trades in the form of brush clearing, how to run a chipper, how to run chainsaws. And that way there's another skill set there for when they've completed their time and hopefully can be productive members of society and obtain employment and ultimately provide for themselves somewhat or some type of quality of life with those skills that they've done. So it's not a waste of time. If there's one thing that drives me crazy, it's wasting time. So they have been very, very busy, very grateful for them. I think just in this last month alone, they had over 400 hours. But it's everything ranging from nonprofit organizations, other county partners. It really is a team. And I want to, you know, throw a shout of gratitude out to Public Works. They have been a great partner of us. We are looking to also contract and hopefully capitalize on some grant funding to bring state and federal dollars into Tuolumne County and create some relief here too as well.
Also, temperatures are warming up. We saw the devastating wildfires in Los Angeles over the winter. You know, what kind of words of wisdom do you have right now to the community members just looking ahead to this upcoming season?
You know, my narrative always stays the same with wildfire is to be aware, right? Take ownership of educating yourself, know what you're getting yourself into, know how much time you need to evacuate, register for Everbridge, you know, subscribe to, you know, our social media pages, tune in to the radio station, My Mother Load, listen up, because we communicate very, very closely and we push those messages out when it comes to a fire or if there's an emergency or an order. I think that the one thing I always tell folks is do not wait to be educated. Educate yourself now. Know what you need to survive and stay safe. And that's your whole family. And have several different plans and just be aware of the surroundings. Pay attention. Don't wait. And when those orders come out, they're coming out for a reason. And it's a calculated decision based on time, fire behavior, and all of the working professionals that are in the room, all of our safety partners, fire, et cetera. So I always tell people, if you're from out of the area and you're visiting here, be aware, know where you're at, know the roads, take that extra second to orientate yourself. You know, I'm reminded of Pinecrest, a very difficult area to evacuate. And we recently had an amended ordinance to increase parking fines because we were really having problems with ingress and egress out of that area. And you can get thousands of people up there at any one given time. So again, for the visitors, take the time to educate yourself. We want everybody to be safe. We want everybody to make it home safe. But again, wildfire season is among us, and it's very serious. So I always encourage folks to educate themselves and set themselves up for the best opportunity to be successful.
Seems like during when we have the first evacuation warnings or orders, there's questions, warning versus order, what does it all mean? So what are the different levels that you have with evacuations?
Yep, there's only two. So we give the warning at first, and that is, again, a calculated decision that comes with all of the partners. Ultimately, the sheriff has the authority to issue the warning and the evacuation orders. But I tell people, if you know you need more time, when those warnings come out, start moving. Start moving right there and then so you can ensure that you can make it out of whatever situation is presenting itself. There's not always a guarantee that there will be a warning. Sometimes the fire behavior or the situation dictates that we go directly to an order. That has happened before, and it's not uncommon, especially when you have or you live in an area that's surrounded by vegetation that's just straight fuel that is burning quickly. That's not above us to go from a warning or to not even entertain a warning to go right to an order. And so I tell people, once you receive those, you know what you need and you know the amount of time you need. Get out as quickly as possible.
Well, Sheriff Vasquez, we thank you for coming on. Any other closing comments you'd like to make today?
You know, I think you start with gratitude, you end with gratitude. I want to thank the people of Tuolumne County for an outstanding year and the staff. The support, our board of supervisors that are supporting safety, all of our justice partners, we can't do it alone. It's been an honor, and I'm looking forward to many more years.
Again, we thank Sheriff David Vasquez for joining us on this weekend's Motherload Views. I'm BJ Hansen. Programming note, next week on Motherload Views, we're going to be previewing the upcoming Motherload Roundup. That's coming up May 10th and the 11th, the annual community celebration in downtown Sonora. Going to be joined on the studio by a trio of members from the Tuolumne County Sheriff's Posse, the General Chairman Mike Seuss, Tim Orpert, and Dan Dernal. Also, a reminder that next weekend on Saturday, April 19th, is going to be the Great Steak Barbecue. That's one of the great kickoffs to the Motherload Roundup. That's going to be at the Sheriff's Posse grounds that afternoon and into the evening. So again, tune in next week for a preview of the Motherload Roundup. We'll see you then.
You've been listening to Motherlode Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the motherlode. Motherlode Views has been brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.